Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Hi everybody, good morning and a happy new year to you, and welcome to Exchange Church and our very first online service of 2021. It's absolutely brilliant to be with you this morning. I hope you've had a good Christmas, a restful Christmas. I hope that you have had time to relax and enjoy yourself. And can I just say, you need to be really, really grateful that you're not actually in church in here today, because it's about minus 15 and I'm surprised that you can't see my breath, and we've been cranking the heaters and all sorts of stuff. But I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm foundered, so I might just preach really fast and get this one done, because you know, it's absolutely freezing here in Belfast. So it's great to see you. I want to give you a word today, which I believe is a word in season. I believe if you're listening to me this morning, it's because the Lord has you here to listen and to hear, because there has been so much, okay, talk as we've got to the end of 2020 around what 2020 was like and moving into 2021. And normally, you know, we do think and we do consider in even normal times, in normal circumstances, what it's like to transfer into a new year. And I actually love the new year. I love getting to the top of a year. I kind of feel like the nights are on the turn, which is a big thing for me, because, you know, I don't like the dark nights. I like to think, you know, you can tell the difference already. I was saying to Penny yesterday at 4:30, it just wasn't quite as dark as it normally is. And so there's this sense of optimism, isn't there, as we come into a new year. But, you know, I've been really struck. I want to probably give a little bit of a commentary on some of the stuff I've been hearing from Christians and non-Christians alike, people who believe in Jesus and people who don't. There has been this, almost like this sense of, you know, every other post on social media is good riddance 2020. Let's forget about it. Let's, you know, like consign it to history. And there is no doubt that 2020 has been a tough year for many, many people. There's no doubt that it's been difficult. Like the challenges of pandemic, the economy, all sorts of stuff has been, you know, for a lot of us has been very difficult. And I'm not gonna lessen any of that today, but there is a difference. You know, as I was thinking about that, and, you know, after I saw the fourth or fifth or the sixth post in one day about, you know, believers going, I'm just gonna write off the last 12 months, or just wanna move on. I actually felt the Spirit of the Lord start to speak to me to say, Andrew, there is a key to walking in to the fullness of grace in 2021. And, you know, I went back to the Word, you know, and over Christmas I was just, and I went back to my favorite character. Apart from Jesus, and the whole of the Bible is Joshua. Those of you who know me will know that I absolutely love the story of Joshua. And there's one little bit in Joshua chapter 4 which really started to speak to me. And I just felt this moment, and I felt the Lord say, this is a word in season for whoever is listening today about your 2021 and how you're going to set it up to partner with the Lord, to walk into grace and to walk in fullness. Because, you know, there are, you know, we're not the same as the world. That's what I want to say. And believers, this morning, let me say to you that, you know, grace changes you from the inside out. It's not about the outside changing necessarily. That will happen, but not all the time. But you're transformed from the inside out. And you see in this story, I'm just going to jump into the story of Joshua when they're about to cross over into the promised land. And, you know, that's going to be, you know, where I'm going to set this story, because it is important. My point today, and the title of this talk this morning is, it is about the power of remembering. It is about the power of remembering. And so let me tell you, but way back in Numbers, it says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each of their tribe, this is setting the context for this morning, from each of their tribe, of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one of them, a chief among them, it says in Numbers 13. So there's 12 spies here sent out into the land. We know the story, one from each tribe. Now you look at them from the outside. You know, when we look at people today, when people look at us, we all look the same, essentially. You know, we kind of talk the same if you're from this part of the world. And most of us have had the same experience of 2020, plus or minus, okay? Most of us have walked through nearly all the same stuff as each other. Nobody has been exempt from walking through what happened. But this is where we see a huge difference. Most people, if you look at them from the outside, they kind of all look the same, right? And you need to see not from the outside today, but you need to go into what the Lord has done for you and in you on the inside. And then what we'll do is we'll start to understand the difference of what it means to walk into fullness, what it means to walk into promise in 2021, and not just be like the world. So Joshua and Caleb actually do lead the children of Israel. Okay, they're the spies who come back and give a different report. Okay, and we know about that. And they walk the children of Israel into the promised land. I'm going to talk about that 40 years later. What was the difference between them and the other 10? Well, the Lord actually tells us this in Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. Church, I believe right now that you have a different spirit given to you by Jesus, and it's different from the world. You're not the same as the world today. You're not subject to the same things that people who are outside of Christ are subject to. That's the glory of the covenant of grace in your life. And we see this in Caleb. He had a different spirit and he follows the Lord fully. And then the Lord says, I'll bring him into the land into which he went, and all his descendants shall possess it, says in Numbers 14. So you're going to see this difference today between law and grace. It's not what it looks like on the outside, but what it looks like on the inside. And I want to say to you today, you got to, you know, you will only live up to the potential of the message that you sit under. That spirit of truth in you, when you're under the gospel of grace, you can believe for more. If you are just like the world today and you adopt the mindset of the world going into this new year, then you're only ever going to live up to what the world can expect. And right now, that's nothing more than fear. It's anxiety. It's not knowing what's coming. But actually, what we need to learn is that the spirit of grace in us not just is about, you know, never, never land, some point in the future. It's about today, January 2021, walking in to this year with boldness and confidence and faith, not in what we can do or what politicians can do, but what the Lord has done in you and he wants to do through you. And so this is going to be my encouragement. Let's read the Bible. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 4 if you want to read along with me. And it says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Okay, remember that. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua, verse 4, called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Remember, the ark is a picture of Jesus. And each one of you, again, take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Verse 19, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set them up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I think when I read that at the start of this week, I really felt the Lord really want me to encourage you, all right? That we don't need to be people. If we actually, let me just shoot really straight with you here. Like, do not write off 2020 with a mindset that goes, I'm so delighted that it's passed. Because actually, if we do that, I think we're going to miss something in 2021. Because what we see in this story, and remember, this is Joshua leading God's people into promise. He's leading them into a place into Canaan, the promised land, the place where they and their generations would be blessed and favored and protected, the place where they would see the fullness of God's promise manifest to them. Joshua is walking them into that place. And what we see here is there's something that strikes to the very heart of what it means to be a person who walks into that place. So if you're with me this morning and you're going, Andrew, I want to walk into that, okay? I mean, you can give us an amen on the chat right now and say, absolutely, I want to walk into the fullness of God. If that's you, let us know. But there's a key here, and that key is remembering to be thankful. Now, we all know that we need to be thankful, and this is a simple word in one way, but it's a profound word. And we're told, and many of you as believers will have heard, about the power of remembering and the power of gratefulness and thankfulness. And, you know, if we try that of ourselves, you know, we try to create a positive attitude, you know, that'll last for a while, but this is not about just positive thinking and a positive attitude, because that's actually pretty law-based. That's centered on you. It doesn't work. Right? But it is amazing to me how quickly we can forget all that God has done for us. There's too much focus at times on the yet to come, even in 2021, and not enough attention given to what was done. In fact, God told them not to forget. In one way, you know, and this is the kind of tension that we live in. In Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 18, you know, there's all this, remember what the Lord has done, remember what the Lord has done. And I find that quite difficult, right? Because what we tend to do when we look back, particularly on our last year, is we tend to focus on what was wrong with it and not what was right about it. And when we do that, we have a complaining and grumbling heart, because what we're going to see is that when we are thankful and grateful because of grace and what grace did for us, how grace carried us, how grace provided for us, how grace blessed us with health, how grace kept us safe and our family safe, how grace brought us to the place where we can stand today. As you're listening to me, you can stand today believing it right now that your best days are in front of you, that you will have many good days this year. But if we don't stop to remember how the Lord brought us through, carried us through, and showed us his faithfulness, all right, we quickly forget and we get into grumbling and moaning and complaining. We start to turn our focus not onto what he has done for us, but what we're lacking. You know, there are many reasons why we complain. I think there's three big ones. The first one is a response to stress. In Exodus 16, verse 2, it says that the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They grumbled against Moses. They muttered, they complained, they gossiped, they talked. You know, they encountered shortages. They encountered inconvenience. And when that happened, they complained bitterly. So when circumstances are difficult, it leads to stress, it leads to fear in our lives. And in the pressure of that moment, it can be quite difficult. And when things are difficult, then we complain. Another reason why we complain is that we have unfulfilled desires. You know, we want something, and so we want it so bad at times that we complain, we murmur, we talk about people, we blame people, and even if they're not even there, we often turn our disappointment onto other people. We point the finger, and you know, we can make them the problem when actually it's really about us and where we're at. That sort of comparison, being the thief of joy, right, is just, can be an absolute killer at times. Sometimes it's just pure selfishness. Let's just get real, folks, all right? We're all on the journey of becoming more Christ-like, but sometimes we just got to deal with our own selfishness, pure and simple. You know, we don't get what we like. We don't get what we want when we want it. And things are not sometimes even done. It's not like we don't get it, but we don't like the way that it's done, or it's not to our preference, or whatever it is, okay? Whatever the source of it is, that complaining and grumbling spirit actually will rob you of the joy of grace in your life. Whatever it is, the root is that when we are not thankful, actually what's happened, there has been a shift to go, we're not thankful because actually what we get, we think that we deserve it because it was something to do with us. Our effort was involved, so therefore we are not thankful because somewhere deep down in us, we go, we earned it. But that's why grace has a different spirit. And I want to speak over you in 2021 that the spirit of grace would lead you to a place of being more Jesus-centered, more Jesus-focused, and in that place, that thankfulness and gratefulness would rise up in you. And because that's what the Lord, actually I'm going to say it in a minute, but that's what the Lord says is a key to walking in to more fullness. You know, because grace is the root of thankfulness. When you experience and remember how good God was to you, in the most difficult, trying times of pandemic, then what it does is it releases grace in your life. It releases favor in your life. Because you realize in those moments that there was nothing that you could have done to brought yourself through, but he was constant, consistent, and with you all the time, working behind the scenes of your life. When you were sleeping through 365 nights of last year, the Lord was watching over you. When you were consumed with lots of other things and not thinking about the Lord, he was watching over you. He was consistent to you. He never wavered. He never took his eyes off you for a moment. He was working to provide for you. He was working to bring the right people around for you. He was working when you were out and about to keep you safe. He was working to keep you in a place of encouragement and hope. He never stops watching over you. And so when I think of 2020, personally, I think for Penny and I want us to be really thankful. Was it tough? At times it was, all right? But here I am standing, like you are today, or probably sitting wherever you are. And right now, you've probably got a roof over your head. You've probably got a couple of quid in the bank. Your heat's probably on this morning. And you probably know that today, you know, you're in probably quite a good place, all right? You've got so much to be grateful for. So let's not have the spirit of the world that just dismisses, because I think if you do that, you're going to miss the gold on what the Lord did for you. And discovering that gold will set a foundation in your life for 2021 of thankfulness and gratefulness, which just opens the way to more grace. Let's just quickly read on. It says, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. I absolutely love this story, right? From the very place where they stood, right? The Lord says, where you were standing. So for us, if you think in 2021, if I give you that picture, from that very place, right? Lift up these stones and bring them with you. What does that mean? What was he saying? The Lord wanted to give them a physical reminder, folks. He wanted to give them something that they could put their eyes on, and so that they, when they looked at it, would go, not that's a pile of stones, but that was the favor and it's the promise of God that we walked through. What do you need to bring with you from 2020? Okay, don't, you know, some of us don't even do this, and we might be not trying to write off 2020, but some of us don't even do it in our daily walk. What were the lessons that you learned? What did you see and experience of God's goodness? All right, where were those moments where all you had to stand on was Jesus and he proved himself to be faithful to you? Bring those with you, the Lord says. That's what he says, bring these stones from that place. He's going to say, bring them, you know, what you might have been forgiven, or they might have been forgiven for going, you know what, that, the wilderness, I want to forget it. Everything that was, what went on there, forget it, I'm moving on. But the Lord said, no, don't do that, because in that wilderness, I was with you, all right? And if you forget those moments, you're going to miss it going forward. You're going to, we build faith in our lives by remembering the grace and the goodness of Jesus to us. And he says, so bring those with you and don't forget them. There was no way that they could have held that river back, you know? Remember, you know, what the Lord is saying here is, you know, as they stepped into the river and they were starting to move across, the Lord was saying, remember my work in your life, where you put your foot down and it seemed like you might have been drowned, where people around you were swept away in 2020, you stood firm on the finished work of Jesus and I delivered you. I brought you across. If you're listening to me this morning, the Lord brought you across this year. And he didn't leave you to drown. He didn't leave you to be swept away, because you, as a child of God this morning, have better promises, better favor written over your life than people who don't know Jesus. And where you put your foot and he delivered you, he says, remember that. Remember those moments, because when there's challenges coming up this year in 2021, you will be thankfulness. You'll be full of thankfulness and gratefulness that you're here today because you brought that experience of the goodness of God with you. You never forget the goodness of God, because if you know when we do, you know, when we forget the goodness of God, we just become self-centered. But thankfulness actually keeps us really humble. And when I say humble, I just mean Jesus focused. It says in Philippians 4, in Hebrews 12, sorry, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, So the lesson is the same. When you're thankful, you acknowledge that it's not your effort that produces your prosperity or your blessing. It's Jesus who did it. And I believe in 2021 that this is a year of shalom peace over the people of God. I absolutely believe that. I believe that this year will be a year where you will see wholeness and completeness in a world which increasingly is just full of fear. All right? But the Lord says, build a memorial in your life. And it's not about so that you live in the past. That's not what it's about. Sometimes whenever the Lord blesses us, we kind of want to camp there, don't we? And we kind of want to go, isn't this fantastic? If we could just stay here, this would be awesome. But you know, when we believe in grace, that you always go from grace to grace and from glory to glory, that your best days, can I just speak this over you prophetically this morning? Your best days are in front of you. Whatever you might be feeling today, whatever you might be thinking, whatever you might be afraid of, the word of the Lord today, it says in Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Every morning, your best days are in front of you. And it's not about living in the past, because actually they would be moving on from Gilgal, but it would be a reminder for them. Okay, those stones would be a reminder that they would take from wilderness and set them at the start of something new, so that every time they would look for them and for the generations to come, they would remember of the incredible way that God loved on them, provided for them, protected them, kept them safe, and was true to every one of his promises. I hope you're encouraged this morning. If you are, just let us know. You can give us a thumbs up or just go, amen, I'm receiving this word this morning. Because I really want to encourage you, all right? Like, you know, we're not the same as the world. I just have that strong sense. We have a different spirit. We have a spirit of grace, which is Jesus-focused. And what we do is we carry his promise with us. In every one of those moments, we don't forget. You know, we're very quick to forget sometimes. You know, in our constant demand for more, we're very quick to forget just how far he's brought us through. But when you set your mind on Jesus, his work, his love, and his grace for you, you'll have a reminder every day that it's not your strength. That's not what counts, but it's his power and his strength in you. I think many of us have forgotten that. We're battling through life. We've battled through 2020, thinking that, you know, in 2021, you know, will the victory come because of what we do and the power of our hand? But, you know, it tells us in 1 Peter that God resists the proud. So the proud is just being self-centered. Proud doesn't mean that you are, you know, have this overinflated sense of self. That's not what pride means. You know, pride is like two ends of a continuum, really. You know, you can either be like that, pretty arrogant, or you can be, sometimes the shyest people in the world are the most proud. But true humility is about being Jesus-focused, about having that reference point outside of ourselves where we draw from. And actually, it's when God says he resists that pride in our lives, it's not like he's, you know, batting you over the head or trying to be hard for you. He just goes, if you want to work out 2021 in yourself, well, brilliant. I can't do that, all right? I can't, you know, if I'll take a rest if you want to do the work. But remember, everything you get by the power of your hand, you're going to have to hold it. You're going to have to sustain it, and you're going to have to protect it. But when I put something into your hand, when you humble yourself, become Jesus-focused with thankfulness and gratefulness for what I've done in you and how I've brought you through, how I provided for you, how I was your source and not anything else, and you keep me at the center, then what will happen is as you start to rest in my love, then I am working behind the scenes every day for you. So I don't want to kind of be that guy in 2021 personally, if I can be honest with you. I don't want to be that guy who thinks, you know, at the end of the day, it really is about me. It's about what I am doing and what I'm not doing, but to be really focused on the Lord, on his power, his presence, and his promise. And when we do that, we remind ourselves that it's the finished work of Jesus, then what we will see is 2021 is a year of grace to grace. You know, let's not be ungrateful people, all right? Can I just say that ungrateful people are generally pretty, you know, it's pretty self-centered. And when people are self-centered, they're generally ungrateful. And those kind of people, it says in the word, don't inherit fullness. And I kind of think, actually, this year, I don't want us to have that spirit. I want us to have a spirit of so much gratitude to the Lord. just to keep focusing and reminding ourselves that in the most difficult times that the world has seen in recent years and decades, actually, that our Lord was faithful, that he was faithful to every word. Let me just go very quickly here. It says in Philippians 4, celebrate God all day, every day. So how do you start to be grateful? How do you start to be thankful? Why do we as people under grace have this different spirit? All right. Well, it's because of what Jesus has done. Every time you look at yourself, there's lack. Every time you look at other people, there's frustration. Every time you look at circumstances, it's just difficult. But if you look at Jesus, then every day there's life and fullness and hope. All right. It says this in Philippians 4. How do we do it? Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Now listen to this. This is the word of promise to you today. When you put your eyes up onto Jesus, right? When you remember and start to speak out his promise over your life and how he brought you through in the simple things. Lord, thank you that I didn't lose my home. Thank you that I've got a job. Thank you that I've got money in my pocket today. What does the word say? Before you know it, in that place of Jesus-centeredness, of Jesus' focus, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, that shalom, will come down and settle you down. Are you anxious today? Are you fearful today? Then lift your head up to the Lord, your head up to the work of grace. And what happens is a sense of wholeness will come and settle you down. It's wonderful, he goes on to say, what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, things noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and what you saw and what you realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's an incredible key to making your life a success. All right? Your life, a life of increase in 21, and your life, a life of blessing. You know, even when we look at Joshua here coming across this river, he knew that there would be challenges. Folks, let's get real. There are going to be challenges in 2021. As a church, as individuals in the church, we're going to have to take steps of faith this year that we've maybe never taken before. Some of us will be really far out of our comfort zones. I hope to be out of my comfort zone in 2021. I probably don't want to live that comfortably this year. At times it may be very, very scary in the natural. And you know, the thing for me is in those times of taking steps of faith, of believing for more, of believing for increase and to see the more of the fullness of God, in the middle of those circumstances, you know, if we look at the circumstances, those things become bigger, magnified, and they become more important. But actually, when we step in to this year, remembering that it was God who delivered us into this year in the first place, and if he did it in the toughest times, he can do it again today, well, that's totally different. Let me say this. I hope you're enjoying this, okay? The threshold of something new is always marked by thankfulness. Let me say that again. The threshold, when you stand on the threshold of something new, whether it is just a repeat of last year and you get what you had before and will be thankful to the Lord for it. But if you step into more this year, it will be because you walked through that place of thankfulness and you carried it with you. That's why he says, take it out of that, out of Canaan, or out of the wilderness and into Canaan. At the threshold of the promised land, he says, remember me and my goodness. So they're entering into the promise, and the Lord says, remember and be thankful at the very beginning of it. Let me just start to round up this morning by encouraging it with four very practical things that will help you to cultivate this in your life and to remember why this really matters. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. When we're unthankful, we're not thinking about God and his goodness. And so the result in our life will be negative thinking, doubt and unbelief. But first and foremost, I want to say this, that thanksgiving prepares the way for blessing. It's the threshold of blessing starts with thanksgiving. I honestly believe that ungrateful people will never walk in the fullness of God. They'll end up miserable and disappointed, so don't be that. Look at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was faced with a seemingly impossible situation. And what was the first thing that he did? He gave thanks. Remember, it's actually the word eucharisteo is used. As he turned his head up to his Father, he gave thanks. And eucharisteo means your grace works well. It's a declaration of faith, his trust and his confidence, right? The trust and the confidence that Jesus had first expressed itself in saying, your grace works well. And the result was a massive overflow. So actually there is power to overcome in your situation when you give thanks. Because when you give thanks to the Lord, you're actually declaring grace. Isn't that incredible? Eucharisteo, that's what Jesus did. And he takes loaves and fishes and multiplies it, and so that everyone is completely fed and there's loads left over. And part of me thinks, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, right? You know, what was the first thing he did with an impossible situation in the natural? Gave thanks. And that, at the threshold, was the gateway to blessing. Secondly, thanksgiving will overcome your discouragement. Holy smokes, everyone knows what it means to be discouraged, right? Okay, Paul wrote these verses in a time of persecution in Philippians, and a time of discouragement, a time of hardship. And in the middle of it all, 16 times he tells the Philippians to rejoice, right? So he's in the middle of hardship, he's in the middle of difficulty, and 16 times he says, rejoice. Now, why does he do that? Because it magnifies the Lord. It magnifies grace. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him. I will make him bigger with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving actually will overcome your discouragement. And when you feel discouragement, can I just say what you've allowed is your circumstances, people, words, their opinions, whatever, to become bigger than the truth about what God says about you and the promises that he has written over your life right now. But there's something incredible happens in your heart and your mind whenever, as an act of your will, you speak the truth of who God is, what he has done for you, and what he is speaking over you. So you make a choice, folks. You either live in discouragement and magnify it, or let thanksgiving magnify Jesus in truth. All right, that's what it's about. You make that choice. Do you know that the root of the word thanksgiving is to think, right? And the root of the word gratitude is grace. So what the Lord's saying is here is think about grace. All right, let your mind go to grace. Let your mind go to unmerited favor. Let your mind go to the God who loves you. And in that place, discouragement flees. Thirdly, I just want to say that this anxiety is a killer today for many people, but thanksgiving overcomes anxiety. The word says that the anxiety of a man's heart weighs him down. And literally, do you know what that means? It literally means anxiety. The word literally means to strangle or to choke. Let me just help you why this, the Lord says bring thanksgiving with you. Because worry actually is all about control. It's an attempt for you to try to control quite a lot of time that which is uncontrollable. And so that's where fear and worry comes from. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen and I can't control it. And therefore we feel a little bit lost at sea. It's interesting that there's some statistics about this actually. 40% of what people worry about are future events that actually never happen. Isn't that crazy? 40% of the things that we worry about are in the future and they never happen. 30%. These smart people tell us are about things in the past, and you can't change those anyway. 12% are needless health worries, you know, where you have a sore thumb. I do this and then I go to Google. I have a sore thumb and I'm going to be dead by next Tuesday because it's something horrible, right? And so you worry about it. And, you know, 10% are kind of petty concerns, but only 8%, that means 92% of the things that we worry about, according to the experts in the world, we have no, they either don't happen or we have no control over them. So what does the Lord say? That's a tough place to live, but he says, instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and will settle you down. I actually feel just right now as I'm saying that, there's somebody, there are people who are listening to me right now, and you can feel your heart settling down. As you're lifting your head up this morning, thinking about this year and what's going to happen, it's like everything is going to come together for your good. And as you lift up this morning, you're thankful to the Lord in that, he's settling you. He's bringing you peace now. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And lastly, in finishing, I want to say that your testimony releases the power of God into your life right now. Whenever you give thanks to the goodness of God in your life, in that moment, it is a prophetic declaration, all right, to the spirits in this world, to the principalities in this world, to the powers in this world, to every weapon that's formed against you in this world, to every fear and anxious thought that may torture you. Whenever you give thanks, testimony, Lord, you brought me through. You were good to me. All right? It releases in that moment that prophetic declaration of do it again, Lord. And so when you do that, actually right now, what it means is, the root of the word actually means repeat, do it again. The power of the Spirit of grace in your life is released into your life and actually released into the lives of the people around you. You release it into your family. You know, if you've experienced provision in 2020, just say, Lord, you are my provider and I believe it and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I actually believe you don't need to go to the Lord and say, will you provide again? I think the word of testimony enough is to say, you are my provider, Lord. Thank you that you provided for me. Okay, is enough to release the power of God again, repeat it again, Lord, in my life. And that comes from being a person who is a person of thanks at our heart. So let me just finish. I hope you've been encouraged today. I do believe this is a word. I believe that it's a word that is different to the spirit of the age that we're living in. I believe that right now, whenever you hear people go, oh, let's just write this off and move on, just stop for a moment and go, no, if I do that, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on God reminding me and showing me. You know, I was thinking that even this year, as we start to kind of, you know, we've had our week off and now it's into, and there's that sense of, oh, here we go. And I just felt the Lord this week go, Andrew, don't go into it with that heart. How good am I to you? How good have I been to you? Like, how much encouragement do you need? Because you're not going to find it in yourself. You're not going to find it in the people around you. You don't need it from them. You just lift your head up to me again. Start and say thank you. You don't need to bring all your worries and your concerns for me. Just by thanking me for who I am, you'll feel completeness and wholeness coming around you, and I'll settle you down. I'll settle your heart. I'll settle your mind. And in that place of thankfulness and gratefulness where Jesus is magnified, you will see grace upon grace in Jesus' name. So be encouraged today, church. Be encouraged today. 2021, we've got a different spirit. It's the spirit of grace in us. And we are going to see the goodness of God. We are going to see the love of God like we have never seen it before. Because we are good? No, but because He is good and faithful to every word and promise. Amen.